2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 as we continue our study on the names of Jesus Christ. What a blessing this study has been to our hearts, just getting to know our Savior better. Amen. So here in 1 Timothy 2, 5, last week we looked at the first name given, which was the mediator, and the second one is the man. Notice it says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." And this is important to us, of course, as Christians, because Jesus Christ was the perfect man. Otherwise, he could not have died as our substitute on Calvary. And so we thank the Lord that he chose to do things the way he did them, that our God became a man, that he might live and die for us. So notice Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, which talks about how our Savior chose to become a man. This was God's plan all along, was that he would become a man and die as our substitute. So Brother Scott, if you could read those for us, Philippians chapter 2 and verses 6 through 8.
Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
So notice it says, verse 7, was made in the likeness of men, and then verse 8, he being found in fashion as a man. So the man, Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom as we go to your precious word and guide us in your truth and teach us. Lord, I pray that the things that we learn would just make us love you more, want to serve you more. And Lord, that you would guide us in your truth. We thank you for this privilege and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus Christ, the man, Christ Jesus. If you go to John 1:14, Howard, God makes it very clear that the Word, which remember John 1:1, we looked at that already. Jesus Christ is the Word. And the Word was with God and the Word was God. Now verse 14, Howard, John 1:14. So the Word of verse 1, which was God, was made flesh. Amen? Jesus Christ was God, is God, and became man for us. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2, and we'll get a better understanding as to why God did it the way he did it. And part of it is Jesus is our high priest, and can now understand the temptations that man goes through because he went through them. So, Philip, if you could read Hebrews 2, verses 14 through 18.
For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy them that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things, it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that is tempted.
So notice it says, he himself suffered being tempted. So Jesus Christ went through the temptations that we go through. And Brent, if you could read chapter 4 now of Hebrews, verse 15, God tells us what temptations Jesus went through.
For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin.
God's word says all points. So in all points, Jesus Christ was tempted. He understood and went through every temptation that we could face. Of course, he, as it says, yet without sin. But it says now he, as our high priest, can relate, if you will. He has been through it. Isn't that a blessing to know? When we go to Christ with our temptations, with our problems, he's been there. He knows what it's like to be tempted. And over in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12, this man, notice it says Hebrews 10, 12, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. So Jesus Christ was 100% God and 100% man. Amen? Wasn't 50-50. Doesn't work that way. You don't undo the godness. So he was God, but for those years that he was on earth, 30-some years, he was man. He was the man, Christ Jesus. And so he went through not only the temptations, but he went through the things that we go through as humans as well, didn't he? He went through a birth. He went through a childhood. And as we'll look quickly, he got hungry. He got thirsty. He got tired. So he, as a human, went through those human things. Remember, he even went into the desert and fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. But Jesus, if you look at Matthew 4:2, when he did go into the desert, none of us can relate to 40 days of not eating. So Roy, if you could read Matthew 4:2.
And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry.
I reckon 40 days, he'd be hungry all right. And yet, he had to go through that first before being tempted by the devil. First, he had to go 40 days and 40 nights fasting, and then was tempted by the devil. And he was hungry, as it says here. There are times when he got tired. If you look at James 4:6, we'll see this. John 4:6. Mr. Zeus, if you could read that for us, John 4:6.
Now, at Jacob's well of bed, Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour.
Now, he was unique, of course, in that he was God, but he was human. And so he had those limitations that we humans have, didn't he? He got wearied from his journey. He got tired. He also got thirsty. Look at John 19:28. This was on the cross. Of course, anybody would be thirsty after being beaten with a cat of nine tails and having the flesh ripped off their back and had a crown of thorns slammed on their head and being beaten with rods. But it says here in John 19:28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Most of us know the shortest verse in the Bible, right? John 11:35. What does it say? Jesus wept. He wept because he had empathy for his friends, Mary and Martha, who were weeping over the death of their brother, Lazarus. He wasn't weeping because he was hurting, because he wasn't hurting. He was about to bring Lazarus from the dead. He was weeping because they were hurting. And so he was showing human empathy, which was a beautiful thing. So Jesus Christ, if you go to Isaiah 53:3, when God talks about all the suffering he went through, but he, you know, we talk so much about the physical suffering of Christ at Calvary, and there was so much. The Bible says his visage was marred more than any other man. But there was also, notice Isaiah 53:3, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. So he went through these emotional things too, didn't he? Sorrow and grief as a human. And the Bible says that, yes, verse 4, he was stricken, he was smitten of God, he was afflicted. But later on, God says that Jesus Christ, not only was his body offered up, but his soul was offered up for a substitute for us. Notice verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. You know, we often talk about his body and his blood, but his soul was an offering for sin as well. So Jesus Christ, the man. Amen. For there is one God, 1 Timothy 2:5, and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. So that's name number 64. Any thoughts or questions? Then we go to Titus 2, verse 13. Shane, if you could read that for us, Titus 2:13. Now we've talked about his name being Jehovah in the Old Testament from Isaiah chapter 40 and other places, Jeremiah. But here it specifically says the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We talked about the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Amen. But here it specifically tells us that he is the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So one of his names is God. And the disciples understood this. Go to John 20, 28. They didn't understand it until after the resurrection, but they did finally get it. So John chapter 20 and verse 28. Isaiah, could you read that for us?
And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God.
This is after, remember, Thomas said, I won't believe until I see the prints of the nails in his hand, because he wasn't there the first time Christ appeared. So this second time he appeared, Thomas was there. And Jesus said, here are the prints of the nails. And Thomas fell down and said, My Lord and my God. Jesus Christ did not rebuke Thomas for that, did he?
No.
Matter of fact, he said, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And that's you and me. We haven't seen Jesus physically in the flesh, have we? But we've certainly believed on him. And Jesus pronounced a blessing on those who believe. And then Acts chapter 20, verse 28, as Paul was saying farewell to the elders at Ephesus, he made a beautiful statement about the blood of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Mr. Scott, could you read that for us?
Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over for which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood.
The church of God, which he, so who's the he? That's God, right? Which he, God, hath purchased with his own blood. So it was the blood of God that was shed for us, amen, at Calvary. And so Jesus Christ is God. Hebrews, 1 Timothy 3:16 makes this very clear. Let's turn there. Howard, if you could read that for us. God was manifest in the flesh. Amen. So Jesus Christ, name number 65, is God. Look at Hebrews 1:8. Brent, if you could read that for us.
But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom.
Amen. Unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. So Jesus Christ, name number 65, one of his names is God. And what a blessing that is. Any thoughts or questions about that? Hebrews 2:10 is our next one. So, Philip, if you could read that for us, Hebrews 2:10.
For became him for whom are all things, by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering.
The captain of their salvation. So, when you think of a captain, what do you think of? The leader, right? So Jesus Christ is the captain of our salvation. He is the one who led the way. He's the one who made it possible. He's the one who made the decision to come down and become a human and die for our sins. He is our salvation, but he's also the captain of our salvation. In other words, he is the leader of the entire decision to do what God did at Calvary. Jesus Christ is that captain of our salvation. That's a beautiful one, isn't it? And then Hebrews 3:1 has the next name, number 67. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. So we're familiar with the high priest one. We've talked about that. But here Jesus is referred to as the apostle. So I guess technically there are 13 apostles. You know, we've always talked about there's only 12. But Jesus was an apostle too. But he's a special one because he's God. Amen. And that word apostle means messenger or one sent forth with specific orders. It could also mean ambassador. But Jesus Christ was a sent one, right? He said himself he was sent. Let's look at that in John 17:18. To bring us the truth, to preach to us the truth. And in that way, he was the apostle. John 17:18. Roy, if you could read that for us. And then John 20:21, if you could read that, Roy. So Jesus Christ is saying he is a sent one. He said there in verse 17:18, I've been sent by God. As my Father has sent me. So he is a sent one, which is what the basic meaning of the word apostle means. A sent one. Jesus was sent to us, to the world. Amen. God so loved the world that he gave. So when Jesus, and go to Isaiah 61, when he stood up to preach, actually just go to Luke 4. Never mind, go to Luke 4. Luke 4 is where Jesus was reading from Isaiah 61. Luke 4:17 and 18. And in this passage, he's quoting Isaiah 61. Oh, I forgot Cash last time. Cash, could you read that for us? Luke 4:17 and 18.
And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised.
So notice he says, he is quoting, and by the way, after that he sat down and said, this has been fulfilled in your ears today because this is about me. This was a prophecy about me. Notice he says, he hath sent me and he hath anointed me, which are the two things, two of the requirements to be an apostle. Is you need to be sent and you need to be anointed. And Jesus Christ is the apostle and high priest of our salvation. You know, many times the people would say things like never man spake like this man. He came to teach us. He came to preach to us. He came to give us the message from our Creator, what we needed to hear. And in that sense, he was the apostle. Amen. So he not only came to die, which he did, and to rise again, but he also came to be the messenger to the world from God the Father. So he is our apostle, number 67. Thoughts and questions? All right, Hebrews chapter 2 is our next name, verses 1 and 2. Shane, if you could read those for us. Are we at Hebrews 12?
Two.
I'm sorry. Did I say 2?
Yeah.
No wonder everybody's confused. I wasn't confused. It's Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. I'm so sorry. So Jesus Christ here is the author and finisher of our faith. So we already saw he's the captain of our salvation. He led the way. But he actually is the author of our salvation. The author means he's the one that had the idea, if you will, if you want to call it that. I'm not trying to be disrespectful to God, but he's the one that authored the idea to die for man. Amen? But he's not only author, but then he's also the one who carried it out. He's the finisher. So he not only authored the salvation of man, but he accomplished the salvation of man by finishing it himself. When he died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." Amen? In John 19. So Jesus is that author, look at Hebrews 5:9, and finisher of our faith. Isaiah, could you read Hebrews 5:9 for us?
And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him.
The author of eternal salvation. An author is one who writes a book, right? Jesus wrote the book, didn't he? About salvation. He is the author of our salvation, and he is the finisher as well. Look at Revelation 1:5, and we'll see this. Remember, when we become Christians, it's because we have received not only salvation, but we've received a person, haven't we? He that hath the Son hath life. You must have the Son to be saved. Revelation 1:5. Did I call someone out to read it yet? We'll go back, Mr. Scott. Could you read that for us?
And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood.
He washed us from our sins in his own blood. He did this. So he's the finisher as well of our faith. Because our salvation is in him, isn't it? 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, amen? He is a new creature. You must be in Christ. So he is the author and the finisher of our faith. And because of that, we are accepted in him. Ephesians 1:6, turn over there quickly. Howard, if you could read that for us, Ephesians 1:6. You and I are going to be allowed into heaven, not because of anything we've done, amen, but because of who we are in, because we are accepted in the Beloved. We are accepted in Christ. So he is the author and the finisher of our faith. But it goes beyond that. Yes, he is the one who sealed and finished our salvation, which is eternal. But even after we get saved, he is the one who then works through us. His will, isn't he? So he continues to finish our faith even the remainder of our time on earth. That's Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Let's look at that. I think that's the verse I was after. Anyway, read that for us, Brent.
For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
So he not only wills it, but he does it. And while you're reading, look at Philippians 1:6, if you will, Brent.
Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So there he is the finisher, isn't he? So he not only finished it by dying on the cross, but he finishes it through us after he indwells us in the person of the Holy Ghost. He then works through us and finishes our faith for our time on earth so that when we go to heaven, we're ready. Faithful is he that calleth you who also will do it. Amen. And most of you know Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Right? So I'm now living through Christ. So he's continuing to finish. He authored my salvation. He came and paid for my salvation. And he's finishing my salvation. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He died. He saves. He empowers. He finishes all for us at the rapture or at death. And then the judgment seat of Christ. But he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Thoughts or questions about name number 68? We've got time for one more, Hebrews 13:20. Philip, I think that's you. Hebrews 13:20.
Now the God of peace that poured again from the dead, O Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant.
Here he is referred to as the great shepherd. Amen? The great shepherd. In John 10, he referred to himself as the good shepherd. John 10:11. And then over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25, if you want to turn over there. Roy, if you could read that, 1 Peter 2:25.
For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned to the shepherd and bishop of your souls.
So here it's capitalized for us. Jesus is that great shepherd. 1 Peter 5:4 as well. And when the chief shepherd, he's the good shepherd, he's the great shepherd, and he is the chief shepherd. That's our Savior, Jesus Christ. That word shepherd is translated pastor in the New Testament one time, by the way, in Ephesians 4. All other times it's translated shepherd. But he is not only the one who gave us salvation, but then once we become Christians, he's our shepherd. Because we are sheep. And we all know how bright they are. They're a classic example of dumb animals. Just ask any earthly shepherd. How bright are sheep? And they'll say, yeah, rabbits are brighter than sheep. Anyway. In Psalm 80... We'll finish at Psalm 80. I don't know who read last. Was it you, Brent? Philip, could you read Psalm 80, verse 1?
To thee, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubim, shining forth.
Who dwells between the cherubims? Jehovah, right? Here, Jehovah is referred to as the shepherd of Israel. And I'm sure you've heard of the 23rd Psalm, verse 1. The Lord is my
shepherd.
Amen. That's Jesus. He's the great shepherd. He's the shepherd of the Old Testament. He's the shepherd of the New Testament. He's the shepherd of Christians. He's the shepherd of the church. Jesus Christ is that great shepherd. Next week, we'll look at that other name there in 1 Peter 2, the name bishop. So he is the great shepherd number 69. Thoughts or questions?